And I'm joined on the line by author, writer, Jim Reeves.
Good afternoon, Michelle. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, you're welcome. Now, we actually spoke last in 2013.
I can't believe it was that long ago.
We both look so young. Before we talk about your new book, which is called Chelmsford in 50 Buildings, you've written several books relating to the history of Wickford Basildon and also experiences relating to your childhood being evacuated during the Blitz. Tell us about your experience during that time and what it was like to, you know, basically be living through the war.
Well, actually, my mum was one of these determined people who, when the war was declared and all the kids were actually evacuated, you know, on the 3rd of September, my mum said, "Hitler's not going to get me out of my place," you know, and we stuck there for a year. And then the following year, in September, the bombing started. And I can remember being under the table in the front room, in the basement, listening to the bombs crash down outside. And to be honest with you, we were on the next train for evacuation to Cornwall.
Yeah.
Cornwall, I was very lucky, actually, going to Cornwall, because it was a wonderful childhood there, you know. But we only stayed there a short period of time because my grandmother actually was taken ill in Roarath, and we came back to actually see to her and to look after her, you know. We still had bombs and things like that. The most dreadful thing I can remember was the buzz bombs, you know, coming over, and they would cut out and you would throw yourself on the floor.
Yeah.
And I can remember going to school and seeing them coming over. But what was even more frightening than that were the V2s, because you could never hear them coming.
How did all of that from your early age affect you in later life?
I suppose it did. If I hear a loud noise sometimes, or in fact anything that sounds like a siren, I do actually, you know, cringe, I must admit.
Yeah, yeah.
But apart from that, I don't think it really did affect me too much, at least I don't think it did, you know.
Mm.
But, and of course, my mum got divorced during the course of the war, and we then had a different childhood with a father who was very, very strict, and I left home when I was 15. What happened was that at school, I can remember one of the English teacher saying that he used to love reading my sentences because they were always so exciting, you know. And later on, when I went in to do my national service, I used to write to my wife, my girlfriend then, who is now my wife, about 30 pages letters, you know.
Wow.
And she still got them in the garage she dealt with me. I've never seen them.
Would you ever have those published into a book?
I have thought about that, actually, but my wife tends to keep them away because she treasured them, you know.
Yeah, yeah. What a lovely thing to still have, though.
Yeah, yeah. And later on, when we had the two children, I used to tell them, make up stories of the night time, like fathers do, you know, about Johnny B and his adventures, you know. And then I saw a course in the Sunday Times regarding, a writing course. So I decided to take that, which I did. And they asked me to write something at the end that was suitable for publishing.
Mm.
Well, I'd actually written a book called Stephen the Axe for children, and I actually sent that to them. This was before I did the course. And they said, "Oh, well, this is excellent. You know, send it to Thompson's," which I did, and they accepted. So, in fact, to a certain extent, I wasted my money on the course.
I was going to say, you've also, besides writing that, you've also done lots of books with relating to history, a bit like our own Sylvia Kent as well. She loves a bit of history.
So, yeah. I've had seven books published altogether, you know. I've been very lucky, actually, because I was the Society of Women Writers and Journalists actually started accepting men, and I was the first man to win one of their prizes, you know. And the other thing that I actually won, or came second actually, was the the RAC. Mm. They did a competition, and I came second throughout the country. You know.
And were you saying off air that you were a policeman? Is that something you've written about?
No, obviously I incorporate it in anything I write, because in fact I have written about five novels altogether.
Mm.
I haven't actually had those published, but I'm working on it anyway.
Is it based around a police character?
Yes, very much so, yes.
I like that then, because I like, was it Roy Grace? And Harry Hole as well. Joe knows both, so that would be straight up my street. I love detective books, murder books and stuff like that, I really do. Now, your new book is called Chelmsford in 50 Buildings, so tell us how this book came to be.
Well, what happened was that Sylvia Kent did a book on Brentwood, and I realised that Amberley Publishers probably wanted one on Chelmsford, so I contacted them, and they gave me a contract to do it. And there was the great difficulty that I wrote it during the course of the COVID, you know.
Yeah. Mm.
And therefore, I had to rely on a lot of the information that I'd collected before, because you couldn't move around, you know. But especially as, I'm not particularly well. My immune system's a little bit up the creek, apparently. But there you go. But, 50. And I went through and actually wrote about 50 buildings. Very difficult, actually, to pick out 50 buildings in Chelmsford, because there are so many of them.
So tell us a little bit of history about some of the buildings that you discovered.
Yeah, I think one of the ones that really really interests me is Shire Hall, which stands majestically at the top of the High Street, surveying the hustle and bustle of the crowds below. It replaced two older buildings, the first having been built in the medieval times. When that was condemned, a new building called Tudor Mark Cross, or Great Cross, was constructed in 1567. The ground floor was open to the elements and served as a marketplace. That was condemned eventually, and in fact the new building was built in 17 something. I can't remember the exact date now, to be honest with you. In the old building, some of the famous witch trials were held.
Mm.
And in fact, 230 people were actually condemned by the witch hunter general, you know.
Terrible times,
you know. Three of them were actually convicted at in Shire Hall, because that's where the court was held, you know.
Mm.
But later on in Shire Hall, there was a murder trial where a copper had been actually killed. And there was tremendous interest in this actual case. And so people, in those days, there was no television or anything like that. So people used to go and watch these trials. And there were so many people who were crowding up the stairs to try and see this particular trial. And the staircase collapsed. And a boy of 19 actually got killed, unfortunately. But also, the judge and the jury and also the prisoners were stranded upstairs because they couldn't get down.
Oh, wow.
So you can imagine a judge actually climbing out one of the windows into the next building. You know?
And that's all in your book, Chelmsford in 50 Buildings.
Book, yes.
And who did the... because normally the books have photographs, but are there any sort of modern photographs taken as well of the sites, as well as them from...
Yeah, I mean, I've got one of Shire Hall, which was taken way back in the beginning of the later end of the 18th century. And then, in fact, I've taken photographs as well, you know, a modern one. Most of the book is that's got old photographs in. And then there's a modern one as well, which came from my collection, you know.
I think with buildings sometimes, when you look at the old pictures, and I enjoy looking, I love a bit of history, you always kind of think of yourself, when you stand outside some of these buildings, you can imagine yourself going back a couple of hundred years and actually being there in a different time period. It really is, when buildings survive that long, it really is quite incredible, isn't it?
Yes, I must admit. Another building that interests me is actually Springfield Prison.
Oh.
There was originally there were two jails or prisons by the side of the river, but unfortunately they got dampness got in, and in fact there is a report, but I don't know how true it is. I couldn't verify this, but there was a prisoner who actually got out of one of the old prisons by using a spoon and digging out this plaster. I don't know how true that is.
Oh, but you...
sounds a bit tall, but, you know.
Well, I suppose if you're desperate to get out of somewhere, you probably would. So where can people pick up your books from,
well,
Jim?
In fact, in Chelmsford, in Waterstones, isn't it?
Yeah,
Waterstones.
Oh, excellent. So you can go along to Waterstones. Also, I'll put up all the details on the website as well for Jim. But it's great to chat to you, Jim. And, Jim, as soon as you've got your detective books, do let us know.
Okay. I'm actually working on them at the moment. And my latest project is that I'm writing a children's story.
Yeah.
Because I love history, I must admit. And... some children don't like history, so in fact I tried to write a story which would actually incorporate history, starting with the Roman times when Caesar actually invaded, or didn't invade, he landed in Dover in BC 55, and the class actually gets transported. I won't tell you the whole story, but in fact, the whole class gets transported to the Roman times, and they actually help the Britons to defeat the Romans.
Oh, excellent. That sounds like a good, great little book as well. You got a lot going on, Jim.
Yeah. I've won quite a number of prizes. I'm very lucky, actually, as I say. One year I won Writer of the Year for Basildon when they used to... And that was about evacuation. That was way back in the dark days,
Well, it's always good to have a reward. It's been fantastic talking to you again.
Okay.
Obviously, we'll chat to you again when you've got the children's book or the detective book. Give us another shout and we can have a little chat as well.
Okay, Michelle, thank you.
All right, you take care then, Jim.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Oh, do you know what? I could talk to Jim all afternoon. He's got such an incredible backlog of stories, especially from his time as a policeman as well. I know he's keen on fishing, and he's got his book Chelmsford in 50 Buildings out now. Also, there's one on Wickford, Basildon, and a few other ones as well. And he's got his children's books and he's got his detective books coming out. So do check him out online, Jim Reeve, and I'll make sure I put all the details up on the Phoenix FM website.